I said, "I won't be no." They said, "He's coming back again this Sunday. We ain't going. But I'm glad you're here." But just the royal treatment you give us. And I like the term Sunday school, don't y'all?
Yeah.
I'm not real hype on this small group. I guess that's not wrong. I like Sunday school. I like the term Sunday school. I think I remember right that back, someone said, "Where did Sunday school come from?" It's not in the Bible. You know, I know that. But I think it was D.L. Moody. Y'all ever heard of Dr. D.L. Moody? I don't know if he's a doctor or not. Might have been a nurse. I'm not sure. But D.L. Moody in Chicago started Sunday school, bringing little kids in on a little horse wagon. And that's one of the best things, Sunday school. So we're having Sunday school today. And I'm glad to have Debbie Sue back. I know all y'all, I got to see her. She got back from her snake handling conference and not too many got bit. You remember I told y'all about that last week. But no, after what she'd been through, I believe she'd rather handle the snake. You know what I mean? But I'm so happy you're back. And I'm glad y'all love us and love her. And I just love being with y'all. There was this black pastor who pastored the same church for 35 years. He and his wife, they never had any children. And for those 35 years, he never missed a service. Never. 35 years there every Sunday. So finally, the men in the church, like y'all, asked to see him after the Sunday morning service. And he was scared to death. And they met back in the little room. And they said, "Pastor, you've been here 35 years. And you hadn't taken a day off. We want you to take off next Sunday." He said, "But I haven't got anywhere to go." And he said, "That's all right. We don't want you to be here. You've been here. You need a Sunday off after 35 years." That makes sense, I guess. And he said, "Well, we don't have any money to go anywhere." And they didn't have any money. So they said, "Well, just stay home anyhow." So he agreed that he'd, after 35 years, would take off a Sunday. So that Sunday morning, he and his wife woke up and they looked at each other and said, "We just can't stay home. What are we going to do? We can't go back to our church because we told them we'd be off." And they said, he and his wife said, "Well, you know, we've never done this before, but I've always been curious about that Catholic church down the street." So they got up and they got dressed and they went to the Catholic church and they saw something they never seen before. There was candles lit and people with robes on and incense pots. And they just sat there amazed. And he looked at his wife. He said, "Honey, when we go back to our church, we're going to do some new things at our church." So that after that Saturday afternoon, rather, before the Sunday morning service, he met with the men of the church and said, "Gentlemen, last week when I was off, me and my wife went down to the Catholic church, and we're going to start doing what they do." He said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, first of all, we're going to wear robes." And one of the men said, "Pastor, we don't have any robes." He said, "That's all right. We're going to take a bed sheet, cut a hole in it, and just put it over top of us." And he said, also something they did, they had these incense pots. And in the service, you lit those incense pots up and you brought them. He said, "Pastor, what is an incense pot? We don't have one." He said, "That's all right. We're going to get some Maxwell House coffee cans, fill them up with coal oil." Y'all know what coal oil is. And he said, "Y'all are going to be in the foyer. And while I'm preaching, I'm going to say, light up the incense pots and I'll tell you when to bring them in." They were nervous. They said, "But you're the pastor, whatever you want." So that next morning came up. They had their bed sheets on just flowing down through there. And they were all proud about the way they looked. And they had those Maxwell House coffee cans. And they were in the foyer and they had the music. And while he was preaching, he said, and they had their, you know, coffee cans with the coal oil. He said, "Light up the incense pot." And all of a sudden you heard something go poof in the back foyer. Poof. And so anyhow, he preached on for about 10 minutes and he said, "Bring in the incense pot." Nothing happened. He preached on about 5 more minutes. He said, "Bring in the incense pot." Nothing happened. And then he said, "Maybe they didn't hear him." He said, "Bring in the incense pot." And the men in the back said, "Threw it out the window on the bottom guy." Ha! So that's kind of what their service was like. But I promise you today, if y'all ever have me back again, we won't do no incense pot. So we just won't do that. We'll just do what we've been doing. All right. So I thought, I love that little story. But now get ready. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Now you know I'm not going to feed you. What am I going to do? I'm going to give you a little take-home plate. Because you know, if you take it home, you'll eat on it all week long. If I feed you now, you won't think about eating. So I'm just going to give you a take-home. Now, I'm not trying to trick anybody, but does anybody remember we talked about last Sunday in Sunday school? What was one word subject? What was it? Sir?
Life.
So what do you think we're going to talk about today? Just take a guess.
Death.
Death. So Hebrews 9, verse 27. Y'all know this verse, and I think you'll be blessed today. Hebrews 9:27, and I'm going to read verse 28 as well. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, then to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Heavenly Father, as we discuss this subject about death in Sunday school, may we learn something that will give us more victory when we realize it is that time for us to go, or our loved one to go, if you tarry your coming. Lord, even in this Sunday school time in prayer, we hear about people so close to that door of death. We pray for that one that may be there, and we pray for the family who are pulling together to be strong for each other during the sad time. I'm so happy, Lord, that for all of us, because of Jesus, we have hope beyond the grave. And to teach this lesson today is not morbid, it's not grave, it's not sad, it's not depressing. Lord, what we will discuss today is so victorious for those who are washed in the blood. So, Lord, may we learn. Help us make our little take-home plate in such a way that we will feast on it for many days ahead of this Sunday. Help me, Lord. I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 9:27. We don't like to think about it, and we don't like to talk about it. Y'all know we have a little job at the hospital, and some of the people that work there, especially the black folks, they're very squeamish about this. Some of y'all may know that. And so I dress in a suit and tie, work every day because of the nature of my job. And they'll say, "Ooh, Mr. Keith, you look sharp today." And I'm always a jokester. And I say, "I just try to stay ready for a funeral." And they just look at me real, and I just say that to be funny. I'm always cutting. Well, I just try to stay ready for a funeral. And they just don't joke about that. But you know me, I'm a nut. And I say stuff like that. But that's a subject people don't like to talk about. You could be talking about football or anything else, and the room is so lively. And if you're just in the family, you say, "You know, I just want to talk about that. I went down and looked at caskets the other day." Everything's going to get quiet. I mean, laughing and talking. You know, I'm just thinking about what kind of vault I ought to get. Everybody's going to get quiet. They don't want to talk about it. It is a subject people don't like to talk about. And that's understandable. You know what I'm saying? But I want to say something this morning. I think if we could understand the subject of death, it would help us accept it. And so that's the reason I feel like the Lord, this isn't my lesson, this is the Lord's lesson. It's a Bible lesson. That if we could understand it, it's not going to be hard to talk about. So let's talk about it for a little bit. Death is the departure from life. There's your definition. Death, if you take notes, and I hope you do, death is the departure of life. Death is when the heart stops, breath ceases, and the body grows cold and stiff. That is the definition of death. And I know we record this as well. The body then goes to the grave, and then it disintegrates. Ecclesiastes, here's the verse you want to write down, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's a powerful verse, probably one that gets lost in our study. Now I'm going to answer something for you that's going to shock you. Through all the years we hear about these near-death experiences, and you hear people say, "I saw a light, and I felt peace, and I heard music, and I saw people." And then they come back and they say, "But I didn't have any spiritual background. I wasn't grew up in a Christian home." And even some have said, "I'm not a Christian." And how many of us have said, "Wow, I don't understand that. Why do they see the light? Why do they feel the peace? Why do they hear the music? What's going on?" Now, I'm going to tell you what it seems the Bible is teaching us, that when a soul dies, lost or saved, there's still that appearance before the Lord, according to Scripture. So when this unsaved person goes from death into eternity, it seems the Bible teaches there is some sort of an appearance before the Lord. Now think about it. God is a gracious God. So in other words, this person who's lost, they're just not going into hell and just saying, man, I'm burning down here now. I think the Bible is very clear that there's probably some sort of a presentation in front of the Lord before they're going to hell to the judgment day, because they're not being judged yet. It's at the end. There's the great white throne judgment. So I think the answer to every people seeing these bright lights is, even if they're not saved, there's some sort of a presentation in the presence of God. And to be in God's presence, whether you're an atheist or a Christian, there's peace. There's light, because He's God. He doesn't come to your level. You go to His level. Amen. So I'm saying that I'm not making a doctrine out of this, but I think there is a biblical explanation why some people who have no spiritual background have this light. Is because the script, I just read it to you, Ecclesiastes 12:7, you go to the presence of the Lord. It didn't say saved people. It's a generic type term. Make a note of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Just write it down, read it later. Souls go upon death to one of two places. Luke 16:25, hell. Luke 16:22, heaven. Now this is what I want you to listen to me very, very carefully on. Since Calvary, since the cross, since Jesus died on the cross, saved people go to heaven immediately. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die knowing you're saved, as soon as you die, you don't have a layover in Atlanta. When you leave this world, you're right with Jesus. The Bible teaches that. That's victorious. Psalm 23, I bet all of us can quote it. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's glorious. So what does that mean? Write this down. Here's this little plate I'm giving you to take home. Death is a valley. For a lost person to die, it's not a valley. It's eternity. But for you and I who are saved, when it is our time to die, it's just a little valley for the moment. That's how the Bible calls it. Number two, that it's a shadow. When a lost person dies, all the pangs of death they suffer. But when you and I die who are washed in, you're talking about dancing. When you and I die, our loved ones die who are saved, it's just a shadow. You don't experience death because you are His child in life. And it's just a shadow that comes over you. But the actual pangs and pain of death, Christian people don't face. There's another thing is, at death, you don't have to fear. So whenever that day comes for you, just say, Lord, I seen your word. I'm not afraid to go. To be absent from the bodies, to be present of the Lord. Just like you're taking a trip. Debbie Sue and I like to go to Disney from time to time. Man, you're getting on His trip to heaven. Just, I'm making a journey. I'm not afraid. And also, there's no evil there. I mean, it's kind of like a sanitized place. When someone who's lost and dies, demons and imps of hell take that soul. But when you and I die, there's no evil around us. It's a holy place. You see, blessed are the death of His saints. That's what the Bible says. Can I put it this way? I'm not even just envisioning a hospital bed where someone dies of a disease. I'm talking about even if there's a tragic accident and they die then. According to God's word, folks, this is blessed hope. God ministers to you even in that tragic situation, and He doesn't put you through a horrible experience. That's a benefit of being saved. Isn't that a blessing to you? Do you think so? Amen. Now I want you to write down Luke chapter 16 and this one word, paradise. Paradise. When Old Testament saints died, they went to paradise. They did not go to heaven. Paradise was right next to hell. And the Bible says it was a great gulf. The word gulf doesn't necessarily mean water. It's talking about a distance. How big is the gulf between paradise and hell? I have no idea. But there was a gulf. So when Old Testament saints died, they went to paradise. And in God's plan, because the Trinity was still in heaven, Jesus had not yet come, he assigned Abraham to be over paradise. He was the boss of paradise. So when Old Testament saints died, they went to paradise, and that's where they stayed, looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Luke chapter 23, verse 42, when Jesus died, he went to paradise and he took somebody with him. Do you remember who that was? I gave you the verse. The thief. He said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He didn't say heaven. You know why? Because he had to go down to paradise first. I'm giving you some verses. This is a good sack lunch. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, it talks about Jesus had to suffer. He had to be put to death. And then after he suffered and was put to death, he went down to paradise and he preached to the spirits, which is the same thing as the soul. And basically what he did when he died on the cross, he saved the thief. He says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." They died. They went down to paradise. All these Old Testament saints who were saved looking forward to Calvary. Jesus said, "Let me tell y'all, which I wish I'd have been in that church service. They've been down there in paradise way back." And Jesus said, "Let me tell you what just happened." Woo! He said, "I just died on the cross. I just shed my blood. Just a short time I died, and now I'm here to tell you the message of grace has been fulfilled. It is finished." They heard this message. And he said, "You know what's next? We're shutting this place down, and all of us are going together to heaven." That's exactly what happened. Man, I'm about to have a running fit in Sunday school, and we ain't even got to church yet. These people have been here for 2,000 years who look forward to the promise of His coming. What? It was wonderful. Abraham was wonderful. It was paradise. There was a gulf where the people who died without God were burning. But he said, "Now I want to show you the new place you're going to live." And today, as we stand here today, they are in heaven. And what opened heaven? Two things. He had to suffer and he had to die. And that's when he can make the journey to paradise to take everybody there. Why do we get to go to heaven? Because we're saved. But Jesus had to pay the suffering death price in order for heaven to be open and paradise to be shut down. Write down Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He took them to heaven. Old Testament saints, boy, this is powerful. Old Testament saints were saved by grace. You and I look back at the finished work of the cross and believe it by faith. Old Testament saints look forward to the promise that God enlightened them with, and they too are saved by faith. I know I'm just your guest, but you know, I preach with authority because it's stand on the book. If a preacher ever teaches you that Old Testament saints were saved by works, throw a water balloon at him. Nobody's ever been saved by works. Nobody. And there's some people that will say, "Well, the Old Testament saints, they hung in there and they prayed through and they let go and they gave their all and they got to paradise." No! They were saved by faith, just like you're saved by faith. But they looked ahead to the promise of His coming, where you and I now look back at the promise that He gave. Amen. Now that's Bible. So anyhow, they were saved. And Jesus delivered them from paradise and they went to heaven. Now, where is paradise now? It's closed. There is no purgatory. Write that down. Because there's the Catholics, where, you know, the bringing the incense pot people. We're going to purgatory. There is no purgatory. That's not even in the Bible. That's conjured up junk. That's a Greek word, junk. Amen. And there's no more paradise because Jesus sealed it down. When I preached it in my church, I got so excited. I said, let me tell you, if I took y'all all to paradise, it's plywood on the windows. It ain't there no more. It's all about heaven now. Glory, isn't that wonderful? So paradise is in the past. Now, where's the origin of death? Okay, Brother Keith, that's good, but where did death come from? There's two kinds of death, and they both came from the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God said to Adam and Eve about the fruit, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I know you know this, and I'm not trying to be condescending, but I want to be crystal clear. It's not when they eat, what some people, some theologians think it was a grape, not an apple. I'm not going to argue whether it was a banana. It doesn't matter. It's just the fact they disobeyed God. So they didn't eat whatever it was and dropped in dead. What happened when they ate the fruit, and you know this, it was a spiritual death. They died spiritually. So it was a spiritual death. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. They became dead in sin. Before they took the fruit and disobeyed God, they were alive unto God. But when they eat the fruit, they died spiritually. Now, Galatians. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The first was a spiritual death. That occurred immediately when they disobeyed God, taking the fruit. Number two, there is the physical death. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The first death was an animal. You think about that. It wasn't the physical death. It was not humans. It was an animal. God killed the animal to put skins on Adam and Eve because they realized it sinned. They disobeyed God. You know, a lot of y'all animal lovers, I don't know anybody loves animal lovers more than this lady right here. But you think about that. God gave all the animals to Adam and Eve to name and to cherish and to love. And now here's this one little animal that his whole purpose of existence was to bring joy to them. And God had to pick it to kill it in order to cover them. That's sad. The second death recorded in the Bible, and I want you to write that down, Genesis 3:21 was, like I said, was the animal when God killed the animal. That's the first death physically. The second one, Genesis 4:8, Cain killed Abel. A brother killed a brother, basically being jealous. So let me tell you, sin's horrible. So there's precious animals that died first, and that should have never been because they were meant to bring joy and make a wonderful paradise for the Adam and Eve and all their descendants. But the animal died because of sin. And then humans died, and it was murder. The cause of death. Now, what causes death? We need to know the answer to that. James 1:15. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Here's the thing I want you to get. Death is the direct result of sin. Some of us old enough, you remember LSD. I never knew. I didn't know. You know, I've been saved since I was nine, so I don't know anything. But there again, these verses. I remember hearing a preacher say, I'm going to preach on LSD. Back in the 70s, I heard a youth evangelist say, I'm going to preach on LSD. Because that was the big drug back in the 70s. Lust, sin, and death. So what happens? There's something. I want that. Then you sin. And because you sin, you die. Sin is the cause of disease. Sin is the cause of disease, not infection. Sin is the cause of that. Sin causes death. Well, they have a bad heart. That's because of sin. They have cancer. That's because of sin. Sin caused death to come onto our planet. It was a sin of Adam and Eve. Romans 5:12, write that verse down. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's a powerful verse. So sin is what causes us to have to deal with death. Death is the proof of sin. If there's anybody that says, well, I don't sin, well, if they die, they just prove they lied. Now, if someone doesn't have sin, you know what's going to be the result of that if they have no sin? They'll never die. But the very fact that we die proves, yep, sin reigns in our mortal bodies. And as Romans 5:12, Adam and Eve sinned, and it's been passed down all the way down to us. And now we have this curse of death on us because of them. Y'all believe that so far? Amen? Amen. Write down some other good verses. Here's some juicy ones. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Our soul sins, and that's the reason why we experience death. And also, that's also a reference to the second death as well, which is hell. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Every one of y'all know what wages is. The payday for sin is death. In other words, how is sin paid for? This is powerful. How is sin paid for? Is there a dollar amount you can write, or is there baptism? No, sin has to be paid for with death. But when you and I die in our sin for our sin, it's because we're condemned by sin, but because Jesus was perfect and died for sin, it makes us all have life. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the way death had to be done for death to be paid for, and Jesus paid that death price. That's the reason why Jesus had to die. Why couldn't Jesus just maybe drop some blood out of, maybe take a little bit of blood and drop it on the ground and say, oh, I paid for sin because I dropped some blood. No, death, his death was a part of the redemption plan. His death was a part of the plan to cancel death for us eternity. That's what the scripture says. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, the verse we begin with, and after this the judgment. Two things you need to remember. You have an appointment with death, and you have an appointment with judgment. That's a fact. Now, how is death described in the Bible? I love this part. You're going to love this. First of all, the Bible describes death as sleep. John 11:11. Now, there is no such thing as soul sleep. Some of our friends who are in the Seventh-day Adventist movement believes that when the body dies, that it's just a sleep there, and there's going to be a resurrection, and the soul is going to wake up in the body. No. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, Brother Keith, why does it use the term sleep in the Bible? It's very simple. When Paul described it, it's the best thing he could do. When you and I who are saved, when we die, it's just like when you went to sleep last night. I was laying in bed last night, and I was thinking of the Sunday school lesson, and all of a sudden I was gone. And then I woke up this morning. When we die in the Lord, it's just like going to sleep every night. Woo, that's glorious. It's just like going to sleep. So that's why they use the term sleep. There is no such thing as soul sleep, that when your body dies, your soul stays in there asleep to resurrection day. No, no. Paul is just trying to describe, and the Lord is trying to describe, death for the believer is like you going to sleep last night. See how much peace that is? Number two, it's also called the soul being required. The soul being required, Luke 12:20. In other words, when it's time for you to die, I don't care if you're in the middle of UAB hospital. When it's time for you to go, it's your time to go. When it's requiring time, I don't care what doctors at UAB are around you. When it's time to go, it's time to go. It's a requirement. That's what the Bible calls it. Did I give you the verse? Luke 12:20. Number three, it's putting off this earthly house. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have one not made with hands eternally in heaven. This house is dissolving. These glasses are verifying this house is dissolving. A few years ago, I didn't need these glasses. Now I do. I'm dissolving. I got wrinkles. I ate. And you know what I'm talking about. Come on now. Do I have a witness in now? Your body is dissolving. And that's just what's happened. This body is a tabernacle. God looks at you as a what is it? It's a temporary dwelling. The real you is not what I'm looking at right now. The real you's inside of you. Your soul, that lives forever. This body is going to return back to the dust. There's another term the Bible says. It's a place of no return. Job chapter 16, verse 22. When a few years are come, then shall I go to the place of no return. So death is just, when someone goes and they said they died and the doctor brought them back, there's only one proof there. It wasn't meant for them to go yet. When it's time for you to go, there's no return. That's not my teaching you. That's what the Bible says. If someone is brought back, give the Lord praise for your loving. Lord, thank you for letting them come back. But it was because it wasn't their time yet. Y'all believe that? That's biblical. Also, there's another silence. In Psalm 115:17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither all them that go down into silence. In other words, it's a silent time. Where do we get our... It's just normal when there's death comes, we get quiet about it. That's a normal reaction to death. And then Acts chapter 5, verse 10, and Luke chapter 23, verse 46, it's yielding up the ghost. Jesus gave up the ghost. His soul gave up and went into paradise. It is giving up the ghost. When we die, the body stays, whether it's in the hospital, the car wreck, or whatever, but our spirit leaves the body. You hear what I'm saying? This is interesting to me. But I'm thinking about 30 years ago, some Christian scientist, was doing a study on death. And they took some people that were near death, and they took one group, and they put all type of temperature gauges on them. And when that person died, immediately their body lost 1 degree. And they determined, when science is still a study, it's not a fact, wondered if the soul, when that person died, is it the temperature of 1 degree? Another group of Christian scientists had some people that were dying. They had them on a scale. And that when they died, the very minute they died, they lost 1 pound. And they wondered, that's the key word. I'm just throwing this out here to just kind of get your thoughts. And so they wondered if maybe when the person dies, if that soul that is in us weighs 1 pound. So there's one group that said it has the temperature of 1 degree, and the other group says it has the weight of 1 pound. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know one thing. The reason why you are like you are is not because of this. It's because of what's inside that God gave you. And that's what you've got to take care of for eternity, forever and forever. I'm just going to give these verses. I want to read them to you. But here is the remedy for death. Good night. I don't want to end on just dying. I want to give us the remedy for death. We need a remedy. We need a vaccine. Have we ever heard the word vaccine before? I think so. John chapter 11. Just write this down, verses 25 through 26. Just believe in Jesus and you live. Now you will die, but it doesn't last. So John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, all you have to do is get saved, and you may have the death experience, but that doesn't last. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 22, Adam killed us. Who killed us? Adam killed us. Did you hear what it said? Adam killed us. That man that we don't even know killed us when he disobeyed God with his wife. He killed us. But the second Adam, Jesus, came and gave us life again. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. It is a mystery, the Bible says, that we all won't die. There is a rapture for some. Now it is normal nature that there is a dying date. But I'm counting on all of us in this room. We won't see the undertaker. We're going to see the upper taker. Amen. That's what we're living for. There's our hope. In the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ is going to rise up. We're going to have a new body with no sin. And we're going to live immortally, incorruptible, forever and ever. And then how do you sum it up? When all that's done, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? There is no sting of death. There is no victory in the grave because of what Jesus did when he rose from the dead. Ooh, that's good. I like that. This is the bottom line. The grave has no victory. The grave has no victory. Now, the world wants to make us all leave our loved one's grave and say it's just all over. Oh, it's not. This is just a result of Adam's sin. But for all of us who are saved, this is just a treasure chest that's going to be opened up one day. And you're going to get an incorruptible, brand new body. I'm kind of ugly. I'm looking forward to that new body. Y'all going to say, now Keith looks pretty good now. There was a man by the name of Mr. Fred Pease. He was 85 years old. Mr. Pease died. And they put it on his tombstone. This ain't peas. It's just the pod. Peas shelled out to be with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is just Sunday school, but we've had church today. Because when that heart misses two beats, let me tell you, it's all right. It's all right. You have a loved one right now that you're thinking about, right? I know you are. I'm thinking about my daddy. I'm wearing his watch every Sunday that I preach. Whew. We'll see them again. There is victory. There is victory in our future. There's victory. All because of Jesus. So now, when we talk about this subject of death, just say it's all right. All because of Him. Lord, I thank You for Your anointing. And I'm sorry, Lord, that I get emotional, but it's so real to me. And I really believe right now that my dad gets to see me teaching and preaching. And Lord, we all have loved ones we miss. And what blessed hope we have to have a lesson like this, that death is not a bad word. It's a word we have to live with. But life is our word because of Jesus. Thank You for meeting us today in Your name. Amen and amen.